You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo, yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble upon. Is that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of topics planned out in sports, entertainment, and odd news, but that doesn't prevent us from going off the beaten path and explore the world of news in our own crispy way. We are taking a bite out of the news headlines and putting our own spin on them. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you guys for joining us this week. A couple of interesting things to go over here in the summer. I mean, we're not in full-blown news mode, I feel like.
No.
You know, we're hitting the dog days of summer, especially for sports.
Yeah.
But we do have some topics ready to go for you this week.
We scrounged some stuff up.
That's right.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Well, before we get...
I make it sound so bad. I'm kidding. We have a great episode.
Yeah, all right. We got golf coming up, all right? Don't you say stuff like that.
Like I said, scraping the bottom
no,
of the barrel.
Stop it. Stop it.
No.
You... No. Bad Mike. We are going to have a nice golf discussion coming up. But before we get into all those topics... Mike, how you doing? What's up? What's up in the world of Michael Costanzo?
I'm good. Not much has been going on with me. Gosh, I'm trying to think about stuff that's happened, and really it's just trying to stay cool in this heat out there.
Yeah, the heat's been pretty bad in Philadelphia lately.
Yeah, there hasn't really been anything going on in terms of, like, movie or TV shows. I have been watching Game of Thrones.
Of course you
and
would.
And that's been incredible. Probably one of...
We are doing two completely different things on Sunday nights. You're watching Game of Thrones. I'm watching Twin Peaks.
Hey, it's all good. Both critically acclaimed shows. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Big news from my end, though, is my Canadian relatives responded to us. They answered a couple of our questions from last week.
That's right. Last week you gave your Canadian cousins a sausage shout out.
Sausage!
That's right. We were also wondering on the podcast about whether all Canadians had midnight buffets or whether it's just the crazy Italians.
Yeah, is it a Canadian thing?
So apparently, according to my cousin, every wedding has one, but she said the Italians really like...
Go above and beyond?
Yeah, they like their porchetta, which I think is Italian for pork.
Sure.
I should have done a little bit of research before starting on this. And she also said that they don't put maple syrup in everything, but they do have the best.
Yes.
And I believe
I like maple
syrup. I believe that they have the best maple syrup.
I would like some maple syrup.
Yeah. They also...
I think I could survive in Canada.
You definitely could.
Well,
they invited us up there.
Right. So
when are we going?
If things go south here in America, yeah. I think that's where we're heading.
If things go south here in America.
Yeah.
Hey, you never know. You never know.
That's right.
You could show up any day, guys.
Yeah.
So be ready.
Global warming. Here we go.
Yeah. That's right. Well, if it keeps getting hotter, we're going to need to retreat to the Great North.
Exactly.
The Great White North.
I can't stand this summer. This is BS. 95 degrees and 100% humidity. Ugh.
Oh, my God. It's awful.
Yeah.
What do you do to stay cool?
I don't know. It gets to a point where I can't even go to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, that air conditioner better be working and it better be on or else I'm not going to sleep.
So there are people who say, oh, I love the sun and the heat. And I'm like, you guys are crazy.
Yeah, no. Get the hell out of here. Like, I don't know how you do it. Yeah. No, there are people. No, I know your pain because I know people that are like that. And it's like, I don't know how you survive.
I like the cold. I like cloudy weather. I like the rain. I'm like the antithesis of everybody's ideal summer.
Possibly. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
If you're a true summer fanatic.
Yeah.
Can I just dovetail this onto another topic?
Sure.
What?
What could the weather possibly remind you of?
Because I came across, so I'm, single and ready to mingle and all that stuff.
Okay.
And I had to post this because this was ridiculous. I came across a dating profile that Rhett.
I think I saw this one.
Yeah, I posted it on my Twitter. Yeah. So, hey, if you follow me on Twitter, you got my happenings.
Yeah, the inside scoop to Rich's love life.
Right. Follow me on Twitter, at Rich Liebig. But I got a dating profile that said, quote, I pulled it up here.
Okay.
Quote, I exercise. I don't eat too much. I love to enjoy 90-degree days outside in the sun. I think Star Wars is overrated. Let's go see a new movie together. That is seriously the antithesis of what I stand for.
Yeah.
Like, you could not have
Rich,
picked...
just a little bit of advice. She's not the one for you.
Right, exactly. Like, you
doesn't take a genius to figure that one out.
You could not have picked a more opposite dating profile for me to stumble across.
Yeah.
I can't believe this person exists.
Did you match with that person?
No.
What's the story here?
No, it's just, it comes up on your...
Oh, it's just everybody.
Right, it comes up with...
Right,
the,
right.
Yeah, you put, like, the radius of what you're searching for. Oh,
okay.
In the
it's not one of the matching sites. No, it's like,
well, it is if you swipe right.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't swipe. Obviously, I didn't swipe right.
This is that dating app.
Sure.
Dating in quotes.
Yes. And sure.
Did I embarrass you?
No. I'll leave it at that.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed, it was erotic.
And yeah, this profile, just three sentences, and every single sentence just sickens me. Like
it's. It actually makes you sick to read that.
I can't believe a person like this exists.
Yeah.
And in the Philadelphia area. Like, how do you...
There's more of them than you think. Like,
yeah,
I think a lot of people like summer.
I love to enjoy 90-degree days outside in the sun. Like,
and I realize the way I phrase that makes it sound...
Don't you care about, like, skin cancer? Like, don't you can't stand out in the sun for too long without protection.
Yeah.
Look,
you went to the extreme. Don't you care about skin cancer?
Yes.
Stepping outside.
Don't you? Yeah. As someone who is paler than a ghost. Yes. This is what I have to think about if I have to go outside for a long period of time. Because I'm going
skin
to get...
Skin cancer?
All right. Maybe that's a little exaggerated. But I will definitely get sunburned.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm outside without any sort of cover for more than, like, an hour, I'm definitely getting sunburned.
I get, like, as red as a brick house, which is weird because... I got that Italian blood. Well, you got Italian blood, too.
Yeah, but then pass on to my skin.
My parents are pale. They're 100% Italian. I don't know how.
Is your family from the northern part of Italy?
No, we're from the south.
Wow.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you, I have no idea.
All my cousins are really dark.
Because...
like, as dark as this table. Nobody can see this table. It's a dark table.
So, yeah, my excuse is the Italian part of my family is from northern part of Italy.
You got German.
So you're
part German,
and my dad's side of the family is German. So
right.
There's that nice Swiss mix, I guess.
The Swiss mix.
<You know? laughs> I don't know. I guess that's the way I'll explain it.
Rich, if you're not using that for your dating profile,
put that
the
on
Swiss
Tinder.
Mix, yeah.
The Swiss mix coming at you. But, yeah, that profile just blew me away. And she doesn't like Star Wars. That's a deal breaker.
That's a red flag right there.
Deal breaker. Anyway, God, summer heat.
What if it was the exact opposite of everything else, but instead of Star Wars, she said that she preferred Lord of the Rings?
Deal breaker.
Deal breaker. Still deal breaker. It has to. Your perfect match would have to like Star Wars.
Yeah, you have to at least like Star Wars. Come on, you got to give me that. If you say you don't like Star, I don't think this is going to work out. I honestly don't.
Yeah, what are the movies you guys going to talk about?
Right, Lord of the Rings. Get the hell out of here.
See, that's where it pays to like both, because I can go either or. Lord of the Rings or Star Wars.
You swing both ways.
Hey, that's not what I said.
Well, it was Sucker. Very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I meant that in a movie sense, of course.
You know, I heard it as soon as I said it, and I was like, oh, I can't take that one back.
It's all right.
No. In terms of fantasy or sci-fi.
Right, there you go. Okay. All right.
Now I got wildly off track.
Yes, it did.
What have you been up to recently?
Yeah, well, that was a part of it. I got a big one I got to mention. I saw one of my favorite bands live and in person. The famous band Ghost, my Swedish death metal.
Yeah, they're the Swedish death metal band. They have some pretty cool tunes. You shared a few with me.
Yes. They rocked the Fillmore. It was Thursday night they played, And they are the real deal. Like, I was kind of nervous because this is the first time that I really saw them in a solo show.
Right.
And I wasn't sure if they were going to sound as good live as they did on the album. But they pulled it together. It was a great show. I got to meet one of the Nameless Ghouls. Again, if you're following me on social media, you saw it.
I saw that, but I don't know what a Nameless Ghoul is.
They're one of the people that play the instruments.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Cool.
You don't know which one, though, because they all wear masks. So you'll never know who's playing what.
Okay.
Apparently, a popular urban legend is that Dave Grohl sometimes is the drummer.
Interesting.
Right?
I wouldn't put it past him because he's part of, like, every major band anymore.
That's right. He's got his hand in a lot of different musical pies.
He does.
But it was great to see them live and in person at the Fillmore. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, they're one of the best bands around.
They're pretty, like, this song is pretty catchy. I like this.
Yeah. It's perfect for Halloween.
About He Is, that song. I really like that one.
Yes, yes. But, yeah, it was awesome.
It's not like death metal.
No.
It has more nuance to it, I feel.
Right. It's not speed metal or anything like
right.
that.
Right. Speed metal is a better subgenre.
Yeah, and they do have a couple of songs that are heavy, like Mummy Dust. And a couple of songs on the second album, Infantasium, but they're pretty good. I like the wide range they play. They can have ballads, they can have the pop rock songs,
right?
But then they can go into more harder stuff. It's great.
They got range. That's
yeah,
good.
Right. And I love them. And I got to see them in person. They stopped by the Fillmore. Also on the it was their last leg of their tour. I think they're actually done now. So. They're flying back over.
Back to record?
And yeah, I think the popular theory is they're going back into the studio.
Nice.
To record a fourth album, so.
I feel like they're getting, I don't know if it's just like the sheer exposure bias thing, but I feel like they're getting bigger.
Again, I keep saying this on the podcast, go support the bands and the artists that you want to see by buying a ticket and go seeing them in person. Because there's no substitute for live music.
Yeah. And just in general, when it comes to consuming entertainment, like, I know the popular thing now is to just download everything illegally offline, or online, rather.
I think it's just Spotify now.
It's Spotify, yeah.
I mean, now, you know what's funny? Now it's like to download an album actually takes work now.
You gotta go get the iTunes card, and it's like, oh, I gotta plug in those numbers. Oh, my God.
I don't know about you guys, but ever since I learned about Spotify, like, that just changed my life.
Spotify, I'm almost tempted to purchase the premium.
Yeah, version it is. Of Spotify. It's, to me, it's worth it.
I also heard
a
rumor recently that some music labels are moving toward being premium only for Spotify.
Oh, that happens.
So,
yeah,
that rumor's just in its infancy, so I don't know how true it is.
Yeah, they'll probably do that. But
my point is, though,
to me, it's worth it.
If there is an album that you really like, I know it's like, oh my gosh, how could you advocate this? But go spend the $10 and support the artists who created it. Whether it's a movie, a TV show, an album, a video game, whatever. If you don't support them in that way, they're not going to be able to keep making the content that you
make. Make sure whatever you spend money on goes to the artist.
Right.
So the best way of doing that is by the live shows and by merchandise. Anything that you can get your hands on at the show,
right? Exactly,
goes towards the band.
Yeah.
So, that's really the two main ways. As opposed to actually going to buy the album, it depends.
Yeah,
there are some bands that get royally screwed over by record companies. So,
yeah. But I mean, even in terms of like movies, if you're one of the people like us that lament the death of, you know, good films, go see the few good films that come out.
You gotta support them.
Go see Dunkirk. Go see the fall dramas. You know, don't just go see Transformers. That's your one movie of the year. It sends a wrong message to Hollywood.
Yeah,
just like streaming everything on Spotify sends a wrong message to the music industry. Support your artists in whatever entertainment field you're partaking in. Support them. the introduction became this weird conversation about supporting artistic entertainment endeavors.
Yeah. Bottom line, just go support your local bands and. Your local hobbies that you prefer. And, don't be afraid to spend that extra money. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, so one more thing I want to note before we dive into our news topics is a little bit of a programming note. Mike's vacation's coming up. Very yep. exciting. Your caravan to the shore.
Yep, yep.
So we will be technically off next week, but do not fret because we have a special episode waiting in the wings for you. It's a special episode that we will release next week. You got to tune in and hear it for yourself. It's something that we've talked about doing for a long time. It's hilarious. Definitely going to have to listen to that one next week. All right. I think that's all the notes out of the way. With that, I think it's time to get to our first batch of subjects. We group it into sports, and we call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Sports coming at you in your face here in this first segment. And the first bit that we like to do is a couple topics as fast as we can. We call it the 2-minute drill. What do you have for us this week, Mike?
All right. Well, this week in the 2-minute drill, we have a little bit of NFL news. First up, the Denver Broncos recently made Hall of Fame quarterback John Elway the highest paid general manager in football with a new 5-year deal that will keep the football legend in Denver until the 2021 season. The team did not reveal specifics, but for comparison's sake, the New England Patriots head coach and general manager, Bill Belichick, has an annual salary of about $7.5 million. So if John Elway is now the highest paid general manager, that puts his salary above that point. Regardless of the cost, though, many view this as a smart move since the team has a record of 67-29 with 2 Super Bowl trips during Elway's 6 years as a team executive. Rich, good deal, bad deal? What do you think?
Sounds good to me because ever since Elway has been in place, that franchise has had success. They've had a Super Bowl run. You know what?
2 Super Bowl runs. They won one.
Yeah, they won one. Yeah. Yeah, that embarrassment against the Seahawks, I feel like doesn't count.
Yeah.
But you know, I think he's worth it for what he's done. He's proven his worth to the organization, so I don't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely has had a hand in turning that around. Somebody else who's had a hand in turning something around was Chicago Bears linebacker Gerald Freeman, who spends most of his time tackling other players on the field. But this past week, he used some solid wrap-up tackling techniques to save a life. While at an Austin, Texas airport, Freeman came to the aid of Marcus Ryan, a man who was choking on a brisket sandwich. The linebacker said that he rushed over like he was, quote, ready to make a tackle, and that he grabbed him and tried to squeeze the life out of him. Apparently, good tackling form is also good for Heimlich maneuvers because Freeman was able to save the man's life. The choking man, however, went back to finish the sandwich.
That's what you do.
To which Freeman remarked, "You can't get between a man and his brisket."
That's damn right.
Perfect. Timing was impeccable.
Yes, we hit that one to perfection.
People can't see how excited I was hitting that timing like that.
All right, well, we're going to keep the good times moving along into our main topic here in the Sports Sampler, and that is some golf. Woo! Yeah, talk about some golf.
I got to choke through 4 of these segments a year, and this is one of them.
Come on, it's not that bad.
I mean, it's not, but at the same time, we could be talking about, like, football.
No, there's nothing going on in football right
now.
We could
have found something.
No, we couldn't. All right, the point is, it's time for golf talk. We had the third major of the year, the British Open.
Isn't it the Open?
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to clarify because I wasn't sure if you knew.
Well,
but
as a golf fan, you
Rich, are right.
You should call it the Open.
Well, I'm trying to be more welcoming.
So much disrespect for the game.
I'm trying to welcome people.
I think you're a casual man.
Yeah. Good on you. Name me another golfer besides Jordan Spieth.
Dustin Johnson.
That finished in the top 10.
Rory McIlroy.
Actually, he did. He did finish in the top 10, you bastard. All right.
So. There's only 4 that I know. And yeah. There was 3 of them right there.
Yeah, you're actually right. Anyway, so British Open over the weekend. It was a blast to cover and to follow again. And the last day of playing on Sunday came down to a head-to-head showdown between Jordan Spieth and Matt Kuchar. Matt Kuchar is a golf veteran who always seems to be one of those golfers that places in like the top five, but he never won a major on his own.
I've never heard this dude's name.
It's understandable. He was always in the fighting chance of winning one, but he hasn't seemed to pull one off. On the other hand, Jordan Spieth was the young golfer who won back-to-back majors in 2016, but then had a little bit of a slump when he choked away the we choked last year's Masters.
Right.
He had an incredible, six-stroke lead or something like that heading into the last nine holes of the Masters, and he blew it.
Is that the one where he shot it into the water like twice?
That's right, yep.
Oh, man.
And ever since then, he really has been kind of shaky. He hasn't really regained his footing. But at the British Open, or the Open.
As true golf fans call it, like myself.
That's right. He just came in with a vengeance. And he was just lighting it up on this weekend. Shot an opening round 65 to take an early lead on Thursday. Friday was a 69, but here's the thing with Friday, and here's something I do want to point out. Friday was a complete, just weird day at the Open because it was rainy, it was windy, it was just all the worst.
Doesn't sound like good conditions for golf.
Exactly, just the worst golf conditions you could possibly imagine for a major tournament to happen. But the RNA, the governing body of the Open, declared that they were going to keep playing no matter what happened. And this is where I think, Mike, you have to join me on this. Golf elevated the game. All right? They did not take the easy way out on this. They didn't take the baseball way out on this. Seeing a couple drops and, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
No. The RNA said, no, you fools. Go back out there and finish your round.
No, I do agree with you there. I've always thought it was ridiculous that in baseball, they're like, oh, no, it's raining. Run, everybody, run. You know, like, it's just water. And people are like, well, you know, they're throwing that ball, and, you know, it's going to be slippery, and it could, you know, hit somebody. It's like, dude, dry the ball off before you throw it.
Yeah.
You can carry a towel with you. Or, you know, I don't know. There's just, there are solutions other than delaying a game for 2-3 hours. So, props to golf for forcing them to play in the rain.
I think golf just moved ahead of baseball in terms of manliness.
I think so too.
That
baseball annoys me because there's so many things that annoy me about baseball. The one is the rain thing, and baseball has a lot of whiners, people constantly complaining. Oh, that call was wrong. Hey, do you guys want instant replay? No, the integrity of the game.
Now they have instant replay.
Well.
Are you talking about, but before then, yeah, it was
before,
a hassle.
To pull teeth to get instant replay. But it's not allowed on everything, is it? There's, like, special circumstances, or is it allowed on everything?
I think it's, mostly allowed on everything. I think there's, like, one or two, yeah. Okay. But the thing is, though...
Well, I still don't like it.
The thing is, though, is in baseball, if you call for a challenge on an instant replay and you're wrong, you don't get it the rest of the game. You blow your shot.
Yeah.
Whereas football you get two.
If you get two right, then you get a third.
Right.
If you get a third right, then, you're just a genius.
Then you get to go to the bonus round.
Da-da-da-da.
Yeah. Price is right over here.
You win the Super Bowl.
Three challenges, Super Bowl. No.
I don't know. Anyway, so, yes, I agree that golf is better than baseball in that regard.
In terms of toughness, yes.
In terms of toughness, yeah.
They just moved ahead. Congratulations, golf. I'm proud of you. And proud of the Open. Then Saturday was moving day. You had people trying to get into final position for Sunday. And Sunday was the header, head-to-head showdown between Jordan Spieth and Matt Kuchar. And this is where things got interesting because they were also paired together. So that's also interesting, too, because you get the feel and the vibe of going back and forth. Because if one person answers par, another person comes back with birdie. And then if that happens, then you're one stroke behind. Then the other player is playing from behind. They got to play more aggressively. It becomes more like typical match play. It's great because styles can change. People take more risks. It's what golf should be. It was brilliant. And here's an example too, because Jordan Spieth was doing pretty well up until around the 13th. Hole, if I got my numbers correctly. I think it was 13th hole. he had an errant tee shot on the 13th hole, and I'm talking really bad. This went 100 yards off center. This was
this was 100 yards is a lot.
This was a really bad slice.
And especially that late, 13 out of 18, right? Like that you're almost done there.
Yeah, this is the back nine. Yeah, this is not a good time to be falling apart.
No.
And when everybody saw this tee shot go 100 yards to the right, everybody just started thinking, oh, God.
He's going to choke it again.
The Spieth collapse is about to happen again, and this time at the British Open. And you just saw it. You just heard from the commentators. You saw it on the fans' faces. Like, oh, my gosh, it's happening again.
You were texting me.
I was texting Mike.
And I said, he's going to lose.
Yeah. Mike predicted.
I made a very bold prediction
that
he was going to lose.
But Jordan Spieth was able to regain his composure. A part of that was... And I'm really surprised at this. They allowed him around 15 minutes to figure out what was going to be in the area and how he was going to do a shot. I guess part of the reason was because, number one, he did take a drop, so that was a stroke penalty. So he was willing to take a stroke penalty for delaying the game. But also was the fact that he was behind two TV trailers and a huge mountain of a hill. He could not see the green from this second shot. I showed the picture to Mike.
Yes, you did.
It's ridiculous. You can't see where you're shooting to.
Right. You can't see anything. But I'm shocked to learn that they gave him 15 minutes.
Yeah.
What are you doing for 15 minutes?
Probably trying to communicate with your caddy. Where the hell are you? Yeah. Hey, where do I shoot? Because they don't have walkie talkies or anything.
Well, do they have cell phones?
Actually, I don't think they're allowed to have a cell phone on them.
Golf is so backwards.
Yeah, anyway.
15 minutes? What are they doing? Like triangulating, crunching numbers, and factoring them for wind speed?
Actually, knowing Jordan Spieth, yeah, probably, because he's a very analytical kind of player. But nevertheless, he takes what now is his third shot, because he took the stroke penalty, and just hit a brilliant shot. It came like five or so yards away from the green.
Wow.
And he manages to just walk away from that hole with only a bogey.
That's impressive.
That's impressive. Yeah. I was telling Mike, if that was me and I took my errant shot that far away, just put a 9 on my card. We're moving on. We're save face. We're going to the next hole. Because, wow.
Yeah. Well, myself, I wouldn't be able to get it in back of the TV trailers. Because I can't hit golf balls. I can't get any height on my golf hits.
Yeah, you were saying when you saw the follow-up shot, you were amazed at how high he got it as opposed to just...
I'm like, wow, he got it up in the air. How do you do that? Because the one and only time I went to the shooting range... is that what they call it?
Golf range.
Golf range? Yeah. Same difference.
Driving range.
Driving range. That's the word I'm looking for. Shooting range is guns.
Right.
I'm just a simple American, Rich. Everything's got guns in it. No, the driving range, I could hit him up to like head height, but they were like line drives. They were just like streaking down the field like at head or chest height. I couldn't get any lift under them because my mechanics are awful. And so that's why I don't golf. Mini golf.
Okay.
I can mini golf.
That doesn't count. But anyway, to go back to this. So he walks, he somehow manages to survive the 13th with only a bogey. And at that point, he's a stroke behind, and everyone is thinking that the collapse is coming, right? Take a look at how he finishes the last four rounds of this. All right. Birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie. Back.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That something got into Jordan Spieth, like, no, I am not losing this one. That was just sheer determination. And the worst part is Kuchar played a brilliant round himself. His last nine holes, par, 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 birdie, par, birdie.
Wow.
Like,
yeah,
there was nothing he could have done.
Yeah, they were both playing as good as they could, and it's just one person was just slightly better.
Right. This is what I'm talking about when I'm telling you, for guys that diss on me about the whole golf thing, watch a competitive final round of a major event, because that is where you'll see the best golf being played. Because it almost becomes like a boxing match. Kuchar throws a birdie coming at you. Spieth answers back with an eagle because he's got to play more aggressively.
Two under par, right?
Right. And he's, yeah, you got to go for the green in two shots. You know, yeah. there's no lollygagging and you know,
so
laying up.
Here's the problem is when you talk it back to me, it makes it sound exciting. But what you just described took, what, 4 hours on TV?
It took...
five.
Two. No. The last nine holes took about 2 hours.
Okay.
And how many people
were golfing?
Two.
Oh, my God.
But it's
doesn't
head-to-head.
That sound terrible
no,
to you?
No, it doesn't! Stop it!
It sounds so... Two people golfing for 2 hours. They did nine holes.
For a major championship on the line. Yes. I loved every minute of it.
They got it now if they golfed at the same time. Right? If they were both teeing off at the same time, that's exciting.
No, they don't tee off at the same time.
Why not?
Time.
Why
no,
not?
This is not battle golf. This is not happening.
I am making battle golf happen.
You should start your own league.
The Battle Golf League.
Yeah.
The BGL.
There you go. Everyone tees off at the first
now,
hole.
Now, honestly, what is more exciting? One person teeing off, taking 15 minutes to figure out, oh my gosh, there's a hill in front of me. Or two people golfing at the exact same time. The ball's colliding in midair. They gotta see who can get to the green in the least amount of shots. You know, they're racing to the ball to get their shot off first so the other person doesn't interfere. That's exciting.
I'm telling
you. That is high stakes. That is
it's
tension.
Arcade. It's
and action.
It's arcade fun. It's
and what's
not,
wrong with that?
It's not real life fun. No, this is
what's real life fun versus
real life
arcade
fun. Is this the Open in its glorious majesty here, and this back and forth between two very great golfers, Jordan Spieth and Matt Kuchar. I feel sorry for Matt Kuchar because literally he did everything that he was supposed to do, and it wasn't enough. Spieth was just. Like a switch flipped after that bogey, and he was just like, no, I am not going to lose this goddamn major.
Well, you know, it's funny because this is reminiscent of how Spieth played before he had his choking incident.
Yeah.
His first two, if I remember correctly, and I might be remembering incorrectly, but his first two majors were both pretty clutch performances where he had to do the same thing, battle back or, you know, fight through a close match or... you know, overcome some weird adversity. Wasn't it like getting dark? He was like golfing in the dark or some crazy thing like that. I remember there was some weird stuff with his other major victories. And then he had his whole incident where he couldn't remember how to not shoot it into a lake.
Yeah, that was the Masters.
Oh, am I going for the green or the blue? I can't remember. Better shoot it in the giant lake to make sure.
Twice.
Yeah, and he lost a couple of majors because of that. But now it seems like he's getting back to form.
Yes.
For how he used to play, which is good for golf fans because I feel like golf fans need an icon again to replace the loss of Tiger Woods and the very brief stay of Rory McIlroy. They give him that that golf game, and then he ended up sucking.
Well, he doesn't suck. All right, he still finishes in top.
Since we've been covering golf, he hasn't won anything
at the Open. He's finished top five. All right, he's still hanging in there.
Okay.
Mike,
the Falcons finished in the top two in football.
That's because football's a team sport, and you have to rely on 51 other players. This is a singular performance. You got to fight against 200 other golfers. For him finishing in top five, that's pretty damn good. He's still on there. He's still on the radar.
So since,
he hasn't fallen off of a cliff.
Since we've been recording, we've covered like 20 of these Masters. How many has he won?
Majors.
Majors, whatever. Same difference.
I thought you said you were the golf expert.
I am the golf expert. I call it the Open, not the British Open.
Right.
All true golf fans know that's just the Open,
yes,
of course.
So it's majors, by the way.
But majors. How many majors has he won?
He hasn't won any since we started the podcast.
Exactly.
Yes, but
he has a video game named after him.
So what, you think that by
he
that...
He should win at least one
by,
in 20.
By that logic, they should just hand over the title to Jordan Spieth. It should be Jordan Spieth, PGA
why
Tour.
Why not?
You have lost the title of EA Sports, the prestigious EA Sports video game.
That's like, I don't know, putting like...
Philip Rivers, Madden.
It's like, putting Philip Rivers on the cover of Madden. It's like, all right, what'd you do? Well, I had a really good good statistic year. Oh, congratulations. Did your team do anything?
Philip Rivers, 2018.
That's the equivalent. They should take Philip Rivers off the cover and put Jordan Spieth on there.
Mm-hmm, all right. Well, anyway.
You disagree?
I don't mind.
Who should be on the cover?
Look, if you have to do it
if you
now,
need somebody to represent, be the poster child of your sport.
Right? Yeah. If EA Sports had a blank contract, yeah, and they needed to offer somebody right now, it would be Jordan Spieth. But they already signed a deal with Rory McIlroy, and Rory McIlroy hasn't done bad. He's still hanging in there in the majors. He's finishing top five.
If you're not first, you're last.
All right, Ricky Bobby.
What are you talking about? They're second and third and fourth.
You're right. And by the way, Rory McIlroy got $480,000. So that's pretty good.
What did he place?
Fifth.
Man.
Yeah.
I wish I could be fifth best at something and get several hundred thousand dollars.
Right. So it's still not a bad day for Rory McIlroy. All right.
Man.
For those that aren't wondering, Jordan Spieth walks away with $1.8 million for winning the Open. So,
damn.
Congratulations to Jordan Spieth. And now, here comes the last question. He only needs a PGA Championship to complete the career Grand Slam. He's already won a Masters. He's already won the U.S. Open. Now he's got the British Open. I don't know. Do you think he could take this year? PGA Championship coming up 3 weeks?
Sure, why not?
I mean, he's back on the saddle now.
It seems like he's back, that he's worked through his mental issues in his game. It all comes down to, you know, I don't know where they play, but if he's good at that particular course or not. But I predicted wrong that he was going to lose. He proved me wrong, so who knows? This might be his opportunity to get it done. The question is, will he let the pressure get to him? Because I feel like that's what happened when he had those few mishaps.
The PGA Championship this year is at Quail Hollow in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay. Means nothing to me, but is that a course that he'd be good on?
It looks like a par 71 course, 7,600 yards. So a pretty long course. Yeah.
So he's a power guy.
He's a power
guy,
and this seems like something he could handle.
Okay.
He just needs to not have one of those 100-yard off-balance tee shots.
Right.
Please don't do that again.
So, I mean, my analysis is worthless because I don't know anything about golf. Rich, what do you think? Do you think he could pull it off?
I think
watching Jordan Spieth this past weekend.
I'll tell you what. Those last four to five holes that he played at the Open – It was like night and day. It was like a different golfer just took over Jordan Spieth. If that golfer comes to the PGA Championship, we're going to see a career Grand Slam. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But
I guess the question is, which golfer is going to show up? The guy who shoots into the lake twice?
Yeah.
Or the guy who has these clutch performances?
Right.
He's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
The guy who eagles on 15 in the face of a guy trying to take away his championship with birdie par purdy. Like that.
Yeah.
It was. I'm telling you, it was exhilarating to watch. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Are there any lakes at this golf course?
Yeah, there's some.
He's screwed.
But
lakes, my one weakness.
It's the one weakness. That's it. He's fine everywhere else. Lake. Damn it.
It'd be funny if like his friends and family like, oh, let's go out to dinner, and they go pick like a restaurant on a lake, and they're like, how could you? You know I can't handle lakes.
Where's our table? It's over there. It just falls into the lake.
Yeah.
Damn it.
You know how I feel about standing bodies of water.
Poor Jordan Spieth. We'll see how he does at the PGA Championship. If he wins, that's a career Grand Slam. We're witnessing history. So,
yeah.
I think you guys should keep an eye out on it. But then again, I'm biased. I love my golf. But there you go. The Open in the books. Jordan Spieth, your 2017 Open champion. And that will wrap up the sports sampler for right now. But don't go anywhere. It's coming up next. We've got the entertainment entree. And then the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. Still more shows still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle. Always crunching.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A man in Missouri was banned from passing go or collecting $200 when he actually started a fight at a Monopoly tournament and police sent him directly to jail. 69-year-old John Linton turned violent when he was asked to sit out from this year's tournament after he engaged in, quote, unsportsmanlike conduct.
Was he trying to steal money from the bank?
Probably, yeah.
There's always one person.
Yeah, always takes that extra $500 from the bank.
Yeah. You really want to drive people crazy? Have you ever played Cutthroat Monopoly?
What's the difference?
we would take all the property cards and deal them out at the start of the game so that everyone had at least one full set of colors so you could start building hotels on, like, your first or second turn. People were literally going bankrupt on, like, the fourth or fifth turn. It was just, it would just break hearts and destroy friendships. It was a horrible, horrible experience. I have serious PTSD from playing.
Yeah, you sound like those history documentaries, you know? I remember back in 1910, during the height of the Monopoly era.
We gathered around the Monopoly board. We didn't know what we were getting into.
We heard of this cutthroat Monopoly. We never heard of this before.
We decided it could be nothing but a little bit of fun.
I wrote a letter to my fair Virginia. Dear Virginia.
Dear Virginia.
I've gone penniless here on Park Place.
If you do not hear from me, it means I've ventured past Boardwalk. I shall not return. Please know. I will always remember our time at the Waterworks. Love, your one and only Mr. Moneybags. I mean, sometimes when you play Monopoly, you do feel like that. You feel like you've hit a point where you're like, I can never be sane again.
I can't manage my own finances in the real world or in the fake Monopoly world.
Yeah, really? It's just like rubbing salt in the wound. That's like, it should be in the rules at this point. It's like the first person to knock somebody out.
That's the sucker punch somebody.
Yes, sucker punch somebody.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling. Making sure that every Thursday you get a fresh new episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We won't leave you hanging, right?
Nope, never.
That's right. That is our promise to you, dear listener. So thank you for joining us on this crazy ride that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler, and we are chugging right along. Time for our next segment, as a matter of fact. It's time to go over things that are in movies and music and other things that we find entertaining, because it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock, especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
We're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
What was that?
And there you go. It's our good friend, the L.A. Beast.
Oh, man. That guy is hilarious. What did he eat or consume?
He did a challenge where he drank a half of a 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke as fast as he could by using some sort of apparatus that goes through a power drill. And it makes him drink the Diet Coke faster. And as a result, this is what happens when you drink half of a 2-liter Diet Coke bottle as fast as you can with a power drill.
It's brewing in my stomach. I think that's what was brewing in my stomach.
I just like how deadpan that was. I think there's something brewing in my stomach. And all the burp. That was what was brewing in my stomach. For those that are keeping count at home, that was a 12-second long burp.
Oh, my gosh.
12 seconds continuously of
That's
burping.
That's insane.
Yes.
And that wasn't edited in any way?
No, not at all. That was one take.
That's crazy.
Yes. 12-second burp.
That must be painful.
Yeah.
Like, to have that much gas in you?
Right. And then have it all come out all at once?
Oh, my gosh.
And he's drinking with a power drill or something? I don't know how
exactly
it works.
I don't understand the way you're describing it, drinking with a power drill. I
don't know how it works either. It's like it's like a hose that goes into the Diet Coke, and then he presses the power drill. And there's a straw that comes out of the power drill that goes into the back of his throat, and he drinks it faster. I don't know. It's like some sort of technique that he uses to really chug.
Is it supposed to, like, drink it so fast and that it, like, adds a whole bunch of extra air to it?
I guess, and it just goes down his gullet. He doesn't have to actually, like, swallow. I don't know.
That's, I don't know.
Right.
It sounds awful.
Right. It's another level of
of
willing to be YouTube famous that I don't think I'd be willing to go down.
No, not at all.
But the result, though, is that we get a brand new sound clip if we need it, I think.
It feels like something is brewing in my stomach. That's what was brewing in my stomach.
Just love how deadpan
I love the way he sounds. I think that's what was brewing in my stomach.
So, there you go.
Oh, my gosh.
You can look that up for yourself if you want to see it in real time. Make sure I'm not BSing you. It's real. Search the LA Beast and search the Human Diet Coke Experiment, and you'll find it. The LA Beast, always providing us with interesting clips, because he also gave us this one.
Ah! Oh, my God! Ah! This is hard! Ah! Okay! Ah! My head is burning up! Ah! Oh, my God! Ah!
Just love the end of that. I think I need to go to the hospital.
You know what my favorite part of that clip though is the music.
Yeah, he always has this weird music.
Because it doesn't fit with what's going on. It's like this and he's like screaming this like guttural, like rage type scream.
Yeah.
That music. It's so cheery and like epic. Like he's about to like partake on a journey, you know?
No, he's in extreme pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, he always finds some ridiculous music too, so.
He's a funny guy.
Go follow him. LA Beast on YouTube. Ridiculous eating and drinking challenges for your amusement. So that's your random sound clip of the week. Now let's move on to the portion of the Entertainment Entree where Mike lets you know what's coming up in the world of movies and video games. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Feels like something's brewing in my stomach. That's what was brewing in my stomach.
So there you go. What's brewing in your stomach, Mike?
Well, what's brewing in my stomach is this feeling of just disbelief and disgust at this movie that's coming out this week. The Emoji Movie is hitting theaters.
God, really? This is
this
happening?
This weekend, yes. Yes, this is real. Yes, it's happening.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
And yes, it's just as bad as everybody thinks it's going to be. I have the synopsis here for you if anybody's interested. Hidden inside a smartphone, the bustling city of Textopolis, because there's no creativity left in the world, Woo. Is home to all emojis. Each emoji has only one facial expression, except for Gene, an exuberant emoji with multiple expressions.
I've got balls of steel.
Which emoji's that one?
I have no idea. This is so stupid.
Okay.
Determined to become normal like the other emojis, Gene enlists the help of his best friend, High Five, spelled H-I-5, and a notorious codebreaker called Jailbreak. Oh my god, this is so terrible. During their travels through the other apps, the three emojis discover a great danger that could threaten their phone's very existence.
Dear
so,
God.
So, yeah.
Okay.
That's happening. Patrick Stewart is in it.
Why is this a thing?
I don't know. But remember what we were saying earlier about voicing your opinion with your wallet, basically?
Yes.
Don't go see this movie.
Yeah, go see another one.
I don't know why I brought this movie up. I felt like I had to share it because it's that insane. But the Emoji movie is coming out this week. I can't believe it. If you're looking for a real movie to go see, go check out Atomic Blonde. It's not that much better. It's some people are dubbing it a female James Bond. A high-stakes global action thriller that takes place in the city of Berlin on the eve of the wall's collapse and the shifting of superpower alliances. Charlize Theron portrays a top-level spy for MI6 and is dispatched to Berlin to take down a ruthless espionage ring that has just killed an undercover agent for unknown reasons. So,
I don't know. That could be good.
It could be good. Right now, it's got pretty average review scores. Not many reviewers have gotten their ratings in. But if you're looking for a fun spy action flick this summer and you don't want to see the Emoji movie, go check out Atomic Blonde. I just don't get the title. I don't get it. I'm very disappointed in the movies this week.
I don't know.
But anyway.
Atomic Blonde, I would get hope for.
Okay.
I'd say that would be worth seeing. The Emoji movie, absolutely not.
No. No. Anyway, in the world of video games, Pyre comes out on PlayStation 4 and PC. This is from the developer Supergiant Games, who also is responsible for the mega indie hits Bastion and Transistor. This is their brand new party-based RPG that combines choose-your-own-adventure storytelling, arena combat, and action sports with a deep and beautifully artistic world. Early reviews are very positive. So far, the game has an 86 on Metacritic. And judging from the developer's past work, this should be a memorable story with plenty of originality. One thing that Supergiant Games always does really well is bringing a unique vibe and feeling to their games. Totally unlike anything else out there right now in the way they combine music, visuals, and that certain intangible quality that makes their games really unique and special. I've played both Bastion and Transistor, their previous games, and they've completely sold me on this new one. I can't wait to try it out. That's Pyre, coming to PlayStation 4 and PC this week. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for giving us This Week in Entertainment, even if it's a movie you don't agree with.
Yeah, no, the movies this week are terrible. But anyway.
Let's move on into the entertainment entree, and there's a topic that we have to get to. That it was a news story that broke, actually, only a couple hours after our podcast feed went live for the last episode last week. And that was the untimely death of Chester Bennington, the lead singer of Linkin Park, and also of Stone Temple Pilots for a little bit. Boy, this one sucked. This one just seemed like it came out of left field. Linkin Park, I don't know about you, but was a huge part of my teenage music experience.
Yeah.
They just had... They seem to have that right music and the right message for that, you know, teenage crowd. You know, you're trying to rebel and everything, and you,
You're not sure if you fit and everything. And the songs from Linkin Park always held a special place in my music library because of those reasons.
Definitely. A lot of good hits.
Yeah.
And like you said, it fits that demographic really well. I think probably everybody around that age probably has listened to Linkin Park at some time or another.
Yeah, I mean, between Hybrid Theory and Meteora, I mean, those two albums were just the right attitude, the right music at the right time.
Yeah.
If you were in high school or just about to enter high school, that was, like, the perfect message for you. It was just music to help you handle if you didn't feel like you belonged or anything. And I always thought it was supposed to, I always thought like it was purposely done like that to make us feel better. But I think with these problems from Chester Bennington coming to light, it almost seems like it was Chester releasing what he thought, you know? Especially when you take songs like In the End and Somewhere I Belong.
Yeah.
Like, now it seems like a different meaning. Like, oh my gosh, right. This is probably what he literally felt.
Yeah, a lot of artists create from very personal places. So, yeah, it's not surprising, you know, to think that those songs probably held a much deeper meaning than people originally thought.
Yeah. It's also weird for me to see, like, one of the bands that I grew up in high school, now one of their lead singer's dead. It's weird. I mean, 41 just is way too young.
Way too young.
I remember hearing the news from Pierre Robert on the radio about this and Chris Cornell a couple months ago. And I think what he said is absolutely true. It's just like the reason why it really sucks is like you think a guy like Chris Cornell, a guy like Chester Bennington, they should be alive. They shouldn't be dead. Like they're young guys. They have so much to offer. The lead singers of famous bands writing great material. That these are flames that should not have been extinguished. And it's just sad that they are. When that news broke, it just was a literal WTF, you know. And the rock world is hurting right now. This is two big deaths that effectively, I mean, unless they find new lead singers, we're talking about the ends of Soundgarden, the end of Audioslave, the end of Linkin Park, the end, probably the end of Stone Temple Pilots. Does Stone Temple Pilots really go for a third lead singer?
And those are four huge bands in that genre. Yeah,
I mean, it's the rock world is hurting right now. So, as someone who loves rock music, I just hope it gets better from here on out. And also, as much as these two deaths were covered, I also would like to strenuously say that suicide is absolutely not the answer. Don't glorify it. Don't. If you need help, go seek help.
There's absolutely nothing wrong in one, admitting you need help, and two, seeking help.
Right.
That's actually one of the bravest things a person can do.
Yeah. I would agree.
You shouldn't have to fight through that alone.
Right.
We very rarely get serious on this podcast, but every once in a while, when something like this comes across the news and it's in the entertainment world.
It's just magnified because it's two back-to-back.
Right.
I mean, it's one thing if it was only one instance, but now that it's two big singers in the rock world, this is magnified.
It's a real problem.
Right.
Mental health issues that don't get talked about a lot. There's a big stigma around it, and there shouldn't be.
No.
So everybody should do their part individually and together as a society to try and have a more positive outlook in terms of getting help for mental illnesses.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be afraid to seek help.
I think the best way to close out our little tribute here to Chester Bennington is just playing a little clip of their last single that they released off of their album, One More Light. This was their single, Heavy, and I'm going to just fade out the last minute or so of the song.
Why is everything so heavy, holding on? So much more than I can carry. I keep dragging around.
So, rest in peace, Chester Bennington. Gone at 41. Way too young, as far as I'm concerned. But we still have his music, and I will be re-listening to all of Linkin Park. And Stone Temple Pilots, too. That EP that he put out with STP is really good, too. I would recommend that as well, in honor of Chester Bennington. Now with that, let's move on to the world of movies. There is a little bit of controversy here, especially since Dunkirk just came out in movie theaters. Christopher Nolan has been making the rounds, you know, promoting the movie, press junkets and press releases and all that stuff. And you found an interesting little tidbit that he mentioned regarding possibly working for streaming services.
Right. So Christopher Nolan, as you mentioned, has been doing the rounds promoting Dunkirk. And he recently gave an interview with IndieWire, the website IndieWire.com, in which they asked him a little bit about the huge success of streaming services and about filmmakers going to streaming services to find funding and production help for their movies, a new means of distributing their movies. And they talk a little bit about whether Nolan would ever want to work with a streaming service. And Christopher Nolan basically said that he would never want to work with Netflix because, quote, Netflix has a bizarre aversion to supporting theatrical films. They have this mindless policy of everything having to be simultaneously streamed and released, which is obviously an untenable model for theatrical presentation. So they're not even getting in the game, and I think they're missing a huge opportunity. He goes on to clarify that the way that Amazon is doing things is actually not as bad in his mind because Amazon gives a 90-day window where theaters can show the movie before it starts streaming, and he says it's a perfectly usable model. It's terrific. His main complaint seems to be the fact that Netflix wants everything to be available streaming straight away, and the source of that issue with Netflix is the fact that he thinks that movies need to be experienced in a theatrical setting, that they're meant to be shown on the big screen with the huge speakers, you know, the 70-millimeter experience that him and Quentin Tarantino are such a fan of, you know, the IMAX screen, the cutting-edge technology in terms of physical film. But is Christopher Nolan being willfully blind to a new trend? Do you think that he's in danger of getting stuck in the past with adhering so staunchly to film? What's your opinion on this? Do you think he's right? Do you think he's wrong? Or do you think he's just somewhere in between?
All right.
There's a lot to break down here.
Just as a disclaimer, I'm a huge Christopher Nolan fan.
Well, yeah, we both are. I don't think that's any secret on the podcast.
I'm pretty much going to defend him on this because he comes from an era where you respected the film, you respected going to a movie theater. The whole act of going to see a movie is in of itself the experience. So when he crafts a movie like Dunkirk or a movie like Interstellar.
Inception.
He's not thinking of the individual celebrities or the individual egos or anything like that. He's concerned with every frame and what every frame represents, which is why you see in Interstellar, you see the vast emptiness of space, which is why in Dunkirk, I'm sure, you're going to see the skies filled up with airplanes about to attack the soldiers.
Yeah.
In Inception, there's a you see the what is it the one Dreamlighter the truck is slowly but surely falling off of the bridge and you see the bridge and you see the truck there's a structure to how he paints the frame, and that's a skill that he learned and that he respects and that he takes advantage of when he uses 70 millimeter and uses IMAX. And to him, that's why film is revered. Mm. You know, it isn't. It's not television. People have this mindset that kind of like TV, that film and TV are kind of just the same thing. It's just you just consume them differently. No. One's a 2-hour thing. One is a season that you watch 10 episodes of. And yeah. It's not. It's two different ways of actually creating content.
Oh yes, definitely.
You cannot. TV works well with Netflix,
right?
But a film like Dunkirk is not going to work on, you know, I mean, it'll work on Netflix if you put it up on a big, huge projector and everything. But for most people, for the common man, no, it's not going to work, you know, on your iPhone. It's ridiculous.
I also think it's worth mentioning that there's a difference between films like Tarantino and Nolan Pictures and every other generic movie.
Right.
Because there are certain filmmakers.
There's specific ways that these directors paint
people,
each scene.
People like Spielberg, Lucas, Nolan, Tarantino, and yes, even Peter Jackson with his sweeping fantasy epics. These people use the screen to their full effect, the sweeping shots, the vistas, the way that they use the sound, the way that they use the larger format. It's integral to the experience of getting the most out of that movie. Can you watch it on the small screen? Of course. Is it still going to be pretty good? Of course. But there's something to be said about being in the presence of it and being immersed in it when you're in the theater setting where it's completely dark, the sound is thundering, and the screen is filling your field of view.
Right.
That's the way it's meant to be for these particular films. Now, you know, you're not going to say the same thing about, you know, maybe a comedy.
You're not going to say the same thing about the Emoji Movie.
No. Yeah. That's a movie that should have come out on Netflix.
Right. That's BS.
not the big screen.
Yeah.
That being said, I do feel that Nolan should consider different formats. He has such a unique knack for storytelling that he shouldn't box himself into just film. I'm not saying that I want him to do a television series, but his brother did take on the task of Westworld, doing the writing and producing for that, and that was a big hit for HBO. So there is plenty of room in the television space for Nolan to operate. I get it that he loves making films, but you know, don't be so dismissive of the TV format. It is a different format. It is a different way of thinking about creating your art and your product. But I don't want him to be overly dismissive, if that makes sense.
I guess so, but at the same time, I
just have a problem with people who outright discredit something just because they think their way is better. I get his arguments, and I completely agree with him.
I don't think it's a case of that he thinks that his way is the absolute best and everything. I think it's just more of a case that if he ever tried to do a TV show or do something specifically for Netflix, he would have to compromise whatever his directing and his shooting style would be. And if you do that, you're going to risk tampering with a creative product, and it's probably not going to be as good. So, I mean, I think that would be the primary concern. I don't think it comes from an ego point of view.
Yeah. I think it comes more from the perspective of he grew up in an era like Tarantino where film was revered. I think that the culture, pop culture, is trending in the opposite direction where it's not revered as much.
It's not because it's people don't want to pay $20, $25, $30 to go see a movie. And that's just the tickets. That's not even the food or anything.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm stuck in this weird middle ground because I love to see Christopher Nolan's movies in theaters, and I really don't like watching them for the first time on the small screen.
No, a Christopher Nolan movie should not be seen.
Yeah. I mean, we went to see Inception and Interstellar, and, you know, at some point we're probably going to see Dunkirk on the big screen, because they're movies that deserve to be seen on the big screen, that need to be seen on the big screen first. It's just the same as if you were going to go see Star Wars or Lord of the Rings. You want to see these movies on the big, or Jurassic Park even, you know? You want to see these movies where you get the full sense of the spectacle. I just worry that some of the old guard in Hollywood are too caught up in the old way of doing things. And I worry that they're going to get left behind as pop culture and society continues to forge ahead. I'm not saying that he should switch to Netflix. That would be disastrous for Christopher Nolan and the way he does things. But just be a little more open-minded, I guess, is my only advice to him. Right now, he's one of the few that can still do it on the big screen.
Yeah, and do it well.
Right, right. If this was anybody but Christopher Nolan, I'd say, you know, you're crazy. But he's one of the few that can still pull it off.
Right.
You can't say that about a lot of them. Like, why are you wasting budgets to put Fast and the Furious on the big screen? You know, you could save a ton of money just releasing on Netflix, and everybody would still watch it.
Yeah, but you know? But actually, Fast and Furious, that actually still sells tickets. So they'll still keep putting that in the theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of disappointing. What are they on, 9?
I don't know, 19 and a half.
Yeah. Fast and the Furious.
They're going to make so many that they're going to have to start like attaching letters to the end of it. Like 20A, 20B.
It's going
to
be like Super Bowls XL.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting that you did bring up TV, because he also, Nolan did comment about TV and that he was dismissive of those who say that TV is supplanting movies and pop culture, by saying that 10 years ago he was asked the same thing about video games. Do you think that it's wise to be that dismissive of it? I feel like we're going back to what we were just talking about, but because we've talked before that TV is where it's at now.
Well, so what did Nolan say about video games? He said the
interview says that he shrugged off the notion that TV was somehow supplanting movies and pop culture, and that 10 years ago I'd get asked a lot of questions about the video game industry, like, is that going to kill movies or whatever? It's a different thing.
Yeah, I don't think video games are going to kill movies.
Well, he's saying that 10 years ago he was asked about video games, and now they're saying the same thing about TV. So the question now is about TV.
I don't think it's going to kill off movies. The only thing that can kill off the theaters are if people don't go see the movies.
Here's the thing, and here's my concern, is that TV isn't going to kill off movies. Movies are going to kill off themselves.
Right. It seems more if there is, yeah, if anything, it's going to be movies that kill off themselves.
It's not a question of what format kills it. It's just what format happens to be around when the killing blow is struck. Because it's going to happen at some point. They keep churning out crap like the Emoji Movie.
Right.
Right? I don't know.
Just make sure that there's still good movies coming out. Please stop relying on these ridiculous, cheap movies. As long as there's still Nolan's, as long as there's still Tarantino's, there's still a shot.
What if it gets to the point where it can't support the Nolan's and the Tarantino's?
Then it will die. Then that's your death blow.
Do you think filmmakers like Tarantino and Nolan will be at a disadvantage because they've held off so long in modernizing their viewpoints?
I don't think they'll be at a disadvantage, no.
What happens if the theater industry goes?
Then you have to go.
Then they'll just be done?
No, then you just, if they want to continue working, then they'll have to go to the streaming services or start something on their own. You never know. There could be something else that develops, you know, in the next 15, 20 years.
Maybe drive-ins will come back.
Maybe. There are a couple. There's one in Jersey that came back. So.
You never know. I think the next frontier is VR.
Virtual reality, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the next natural progression. What's more immersive than sitting in a theater than having the theater on your head?
Come to you right up against your eyes.
Yeah. With a good pair of headphones, surround sound headphones. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a boom with Samsung and
Sony and HTC.
There's a couple of VR players.
Valve, I mean, they all got VR headsets now.
Right.
They just need time for it to mature. I think that also part of being an artist is making sure you stay up to date with trends and you stay up to date.
You don't have to.
You don't have to, but
you don't have to.
Some of the really great artists, they
Some like to change with the time. Some don't.
Well,
can I pull an Orson Welles clip?
I was gonna say. Then you get an Orson Welles.
Yeah, Orson Welles.
I don't want Nolan to turn into Orson Welles. I don't want him to drunkenly stagger around.
No, I hope not either. No, I don't want that Orson Welles.
It's a fine.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
No, I don't want Nolan to turn into that.
I think it's a fine line you have to walk between honoring the format and making sure that you're not dismissing it out of hand just because.
There's a quote from Orson Welles where he said something to the tune of, a great artist always seems to be out of step with his time. And I feel like if you've made it as an artist, I think you can get away with, you know, being out of the current time. So if Nolan wants to keep respecting the art of film, I say go for it. I don't think he has much to lose. I don't think he gets left behind either. So
not in his lifetime. I think you know, all this doomsday stuff that we're talking about is far in the future.
Right.
I'm just as an abstract thought exercise.
Right.
You know.
But please don't turn, but please, Christopher Nolan, don't actually turn into Orson Welles.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Ah, the film.
Dunkirk takes place in France.
There you go.
It's a sign.
Oh, God, it's happening.
No. But,
no. We have to protect Christopher Nolan.
But, you know, people have to...
Get back on that treadmill.
People... back on the treadmill?
Yeah. Orson Welles got fat.
Oh, gotcha.
Went over
Yeah, head. Right over my head. But people need to
the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But, yeah, people need to go see Dunkirk in theaters.
Yeah, it's yeah. That,
support
that's
the movies that deserve to be there.
Right, exactly. And that's the best advice I think we can give you to wrap up the entertainment entree. But that is not the end of the show yet. We're going to take a break, but we still have one more segment coming up, and that is the non-Fortune Cookie Odd news. I got some interesting stories that you need to hear, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
I have another random sound clip that I would like to play.
Okay.
And I think you'll get a kick out of this one, because right now I'm addicted to Twin Peaks.
Right.
This is just a great sound clip from the main character who gets stuck in a casino.
Okay.
But he can only get this out.
Hello!
It actually has a variance. Hello!
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little peak in the middle. Hello!
Right. Hello!
It's almost like a song. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it sounds like a yodel.
Hello!
Yodel. Yeah, a little bit.
He needs to be on top of a mountain.
Hello!
A little bit, yeah.
Let's go to The Price is Right. Let's knock that, knock the guy off the cliff. No, we need to get Twin Peaks
place
on
it with
there.
This guy.
Hello!
Yeah!
It does fit.
Hello! Hello!
There you go. You got a new updated version of, what was it, Cliffhanger?
Yeah, but instead of calling it Cliffhangers, we call it Twin Peaks.
I tell you to take a break, but unfortunately it's time for the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News, and everybody knows that in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news.
And let's start off with this one here in Georgia. Firefighters had to rescue several people who were trapped on the second floor of an apartment building after the apartment complex removed the only staircase.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean they removed a staircase? Oh, the apartment just decided to take the stairs away.
Right. No big deal.
Well, people were still up there.
Yeah, sure.
Fantastic.
Hello!
That's Screaming actual out. Audio from the people yelling to the apartment manager.
Hello!
The lone staircase at the Maple Walk Apartments is the only way in and out of several homes on the second floor. Neighbors told Channel 2's Sophia Choi that they woke up to the stairs being removed and no way to get down.
Hello!
You know, like, at the end of the year when we do the best excuses for getting out of work?
Yeah, this is a good one.
Hey, boss, they took my stairs. What do you mean they took your... They took my stairs! They're gone!
Hello!
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Rolling right along through this episode. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. That leaves one more segment left. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. It's one of my all-time favorite segments. It's time for the wacky, the wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Nick, I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
News.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. In this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these wacky and wild stories, and he keeps them hidden from me so that I've never seen them before, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to dive in.
Yes.
I'm eager to get to some odd news. I always love some odd news.
Let's see. Let's do this one. Let's start off in Iowa. We're going to start off in Iowa. Why not?
What state? Iowa? No. Nobody's going to get that one.
Yep. Why not? Iowa. West Des Moines police say that a would-be bank robber was thwarted two times Wednesday when the banks he decided to try to rob were closed that day.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
You've already committed to robbing banks. Why would you let their hours of business operation affect your ability to rob them?
Security footage from Marine Credit Union in West Des Moines, Iowa, shows a man wearing a gray hoodie, sunglasses, and a red bandana over his face, psyching himself up.
Oh, man, that's pathetic.
And then trying to enter the building at 8 in the morning. But that
Doesn't
branch,
he know bank hours are always 10:30 to 12:30?
That branch of the credit union did not open till 11 a.m., which, wow.
Oh, my God. We went into the wrong careers, Rich.
Yeah. I didn't know they got away that.
Hold on. Time out. Stop the odd news. Let me take issue
Stop.
With bank hours.
Yes.
I don't understand how they're a business, right? They're in business to
yes.
make money. They're like, you know what? Our hours today are going to be 11 to 3. What world do they live on?
So you get nothing. You lose.
Good day, sir.
Yeah.
I worked 9.5 hours. What in the hell are they doing?
Yeah, how did they get away with 11 a.m.?
They're just strolling at 11. Oh, I'm going to count some money. 1, 2, 3, 4, and that's the day of work.
And I'm done.
I'm so mad right now. You have no idea. I apologize to anybody in finance that's listening. But what do you do all day? Let me know what you do all day. Who would have guessed? Like, surprise! Like, Jesus Christ! How do I get hours like that?
Yeah, 11 to 4.
Yeah, it's insane. It's like, oh, I gotta go to the bank. Oh, they're closed. You ever try to go to a bank on Saturday? What a shocker!
Yeah, it's
every day of the week, 11 to 4. Saturdays, 8 to noon.
Yeah.
Like, nope, you can't get in. It's 12:30.
You waited too long.
I don't understand.
11 a.m.
It's so frustrating.
I'm really surprised. 11, that's really late. That's like when the Price is Right comes on.
Yeah, I know. It's insane.
Right. I have to watch. If I'm taking a day off, I'm watching the Price is Right.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's the only hour of the day they're open.
That's some BS. I don't like that.
So, anyway.
You know what? You should have gotten stolen from Marine Credit
that's
Union.
Right. They deserve it.
Yeah.
11 a.m. I'm just going to look up some bank hours. Go ahead. You keep reading.
All right. Well, when this guy went to the door, he had multiple attempts of yanking on the door. That's when he shrugged his shoulders and promptly left.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
He just gives up.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm committed to robbing this place, but it's gonna
happen. It's going to happen. Oh, yeah. I'm ready to do it. And God damn it. That's it. Well, about a half an hour later, around 8:45 a.m., a man described almost exactly like the first tried to enter First National Bank. That was about 15 minutes before the bank was scheduled to open. All right, so that's more reasonable. This bank opened up at 9.
Right.
The man turned and fled when he saw a police officer report for his patrol duty. Yeah, he wasn't ready for direct police interaction.
No.
Police were making the rounds to warn banks about the earlier robbery attempt. However, the suspect is still on the loose, and police are searching for any information about him. I guess they couldn't actually arrest him because he didn't actually break in yet.
Yeah, it was the equivalent of like walking up to a store and realizing it's closed and just walking away.
Right, so they can't actually arrest him because he didn't do anything.
No.
So I guess the only thing they could do is like question his motive.
He's not a threat anyway.
Yeah.
He can't tell time. He's a coward. Yeah. You've committed to a life of crime. You're like, I'm going to rob this place. He psyched himself up.
Yeah, getting ready.
And then he got to the door. He's like, oh, well, they're closed.
Oh, God damn it.
Guess I can't do any crime today. Criminal. At least show the proper dedication and commitment. Right?
Oh, shucks.
Give it 100%.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Look, banks, they got those glass doors. Just throw a brick through there, man.
Yeah, come on. Find that brick. Oh, man.
Anyway.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, shucks. I just bank hours just piss me off.
They do. They're weird. All right. Let's move on to this story here. Going to England.
Jolly old England. Pip, cheerio.
That's we don't get too many England stories.
Because they're right proper British folk.
Supposedly. And I guess the best way you can describe this story is simply put, hot diggity dog.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
Oh, where's the rest of it?
Hot diggity dog. Hot diggity dog.
This kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
You shouldn't have asked that because I had it ready.
Oh, I knew you had it ready. I love the song.
Hot diggity dog. Hot diggity dog.
This kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
Hot diggity dog. Hot diggity dog.
Kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
It's going to be a platinum selling single.
Yes.
Negan. When does The Walking Dead come back?
I guess
it's October.
October, yeah.
That's really far off track. I'm just curious. Anyway.
The reason why is because this story has to do with some lost dogs. Two miniature schnauzers who were missing for 4 days were finally found when owners decided to use an unconventional yet effective method. On June 16th, John Hampson was walking his parents' dogs, Charlie and Theo, on top of a scenic lookout near Buttermere, Cumbria in England.
What was that?
That's the name of the town.
Buttermere,
Buttermere, Cumbria.
That's a weird sounding place.
He was walking the dogs when a fog rolled in. The dogs were both off the leash, and due to the thick mist, the 21-year-old lost sight of their pets.
Hold on one second. Do you want to know how many people live in this place?
How many?
120.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow. This is,
There's probably more dogs than there are people.
Just tickles my balls. Hot digging, hot digging. This kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
As soon as the pups went missing, John called his mother, Liz, who was distraught by the news. After the call, Liz and her husband, Graham, put together a search party. Well, wait a minute. How many people did you say were in the town?
120.
They said 120 people searched for the dogs. So the whole town got together.
Literally the whole town.
Wow.
Well, correction. There's 121 people.
So there's one asshole.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. The population is 121.
Yeah, there's one guy.
There's one guy. I hate dogs. I'm a cat person.
Yeah, you suck. I never liked your family anyway.
I mean, grudges must be real intense in a town with only 120 people.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
After hours of searching, the family came up with a last-ditch effort. They decided to cook up the dog's favorite meal to lure them back home. Sausages!
Sausages!
Yes. Of course. If there's anything that's going to lead you back home, it's going to be sausages.
Sausages!
That's right. When I get lost out there in the mean streets of Ambler, just keep my nose open for some sausage.
Sausages!
Liz told the Metro that, quote, the dogs absolutely love sausages. We like to have them every Sunday for breakfast. Wow. Is that healthy for dogs?
I don't know. I mean, why wouldn't it be?
I don't know. It just seems, I don't know. Every Sunday for dogs. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm a cat person. I'm the one.
Eat sausage?
No, they don't.
Rich, you should give them some more sausage then.
Sausages!
Yeah. A strict diet of sausage.
If there was one food they were going to come back home for, it was going to be sausages, according to Liz. After 2.5 hours of grilling and calling the dogs. Wait. So does this mean like for 2 hours they're just like, throw more sausages.
Get more sausages.
We need to enhance the smell.
Sausages.
Are they just building a gigantic pile of sausage?
Yeah, right? Is that
that's what it sounds like to me. When they say they were grilling for 2.5 hours.
Right.
To me, it sounds like they're just constantly grilling for 2.5 hours.
Sausages.
Yeah, just keep it. We need more. Keep going.
Now that sounds like a barbecue.
Yeah. Well, guess what? After 2.5 hours, the two miniature schnauzers showed up. So this does have a happy ending.
Oh, nice.
Aside from Charlie and Theo being very smelly and hungry when they were discovered, the two dogs are doing fine. They were taken to the vets the next day and were given a clean bill of health. So
good.
All's well that ends well.
Yeah.
More sausages for them.
Sausages!
And see, sausage is the key to everything.
It is. Brings back pets and...
It brings together loved ones.
Yes.
It's sausage is the glue that binds us together.
Sausages!
Yeah. That and hot diggity dog.
Hot diggity, this kind of thing that just tickles my balls. Hot diggity, this kind of thing that just tickles my balls. Hot diggity, this kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
Yeah.
That song will never get old.
No.
I love that song. Negan's just the best.
Yes.
Negan and sausage. You can't go wrong.
Right. That story had everything.
That's right.
I don't know.
It had Negan and sausages. Those are the only two things in Rich's book.
That's
that
right.
Story had everything.
I don't know how we're going to... I don't know how we're going to top that, but we're going to have an attempt because the rest of the stories that I have for you are all Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, boy.
That's right. And
going to Florida for an extended stay, it seems.
Right, an extended stay. It's a good way to phrase it.
Man, Florida never fails to show up for these things.
No. And here's our first story. We're going to St. Petersburg, Florida. A woman who was swinging a cross repeatedly struck her husband in the head with the religious item, according to the cops who arrested the assailant on a felony domestic battery charge.
She's just singing that, and she's just swinging away.
Cops say that 49-year-old Tina Abrams attacked her spouse early Friday morning after he returned to the couple's residence. As her husband was washing up in the bathroom, Abrams announced that, quote, "I'm through with this S." Very, very Christian here.
Very.
And then grabbed a glass cross that was hanging in the living room and repeatedly striked the victim. God, he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Wow.
So, if I'm correct in understanding the series of events, she comes home and she's like, "That's it. I've had enough," and just beats up her husband with a cross.
Yeah, the one that's hanging in the living room.
What was she mad about? She just got home and she's like, "That's it, I'm done.
I've had enough."
I've had enough. Of what? Did they say what she's had enough of?
Abrams repeatedly struck the victim, who suffered abrasions to his right temple and the upper left side of his head. So she went right for the...
Man, that's the power of Christ.
This is like a weird baptism. Instead of water, though, I have a heavy glass cross.
Yeah, that would be a pretty traumatic baptism. Are you ready to receive God? Just wielding a bat.
The power of Christ compels you! Our God is an awesome God. Abrams apparently has a rap sheet. Apparently she has a previous conviction of battery in 2007.
Okay, so it's not shocking.
Yeah, she has a history of some violence here. She was freed after posting a $2,000 bond. She's been ordered to have no contact with her husband, and the police have taken away her glass cross.
Oh, no.
Yeah, boy, man. How's she going to survive?
I know. So it never says what they were fighting about?
No, but...
Just that she just came home and she's like, "That's it. This is the day."
I have to imagine it's going to be something with infidelity, because
probably
you come home late at night, you get that angry. I don't know.
Was it late at night?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, early Friday morning.
That's what I mean.
What?
Wait, was she coming out from a night out?
Right.
I don't understand. So, okay. The guy was just at home.
I'm sure that there's probably a reason. Guys are stupid.
There's a Florida reason.
There's a Florida reason. It's Florida. It's a guy. There's probably something.
Yeah. I guess. It just strikes me as odd that she just comes home and she's like, "That's it. I'm done with this."
Right. I think there was probably
There has to be some history there.
Exactly.
But I want to know what it is that would prompt somebody to swing a glass cross. Also, how big is this cross?
It must be big, because she said it was hanging in the living room. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with
wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Yeah. I want to know if she was like swinging around like a little hand hatchet thing, or whether she was swinging it like a baseball bat. Like, how big is this cross? Because in my mind, I like to imagine that was like a 3-foot cross. She's just...
I mean, it's hanging in the living room. It's taking up a nice chunk of real estate.
Yeah, but you've seen crosses before. They're small.
It did damage to the guy's temple and the upper left side of his head.
Well, you can bludgeon somebody with a small object.
No, not like that.
Well, that's why I want to know how big it was.
I think it was pretty substantial, especially for them to have to call the cops and everything. I don't think it was a minor scratch.
Yeah. I like the image of her swinging like a four-foot cross.
Right. It's like a baseball bat, all right?
The baseball of Christ compels you.
Yeah. I'm running with that. All right. Let's do this Florida story next.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
During a traffic stop last weekend, Frankie Santos attempted to explain why he had pills that were not prescribed to him in his car. You know, that happens. Random medication.
I don't know how they got there.
Right, I don't know.
It must be magic.
Yeah. But apparently this guy has a solid reason.
Okay.
All right, this guy's legit.
All right.
He told deputies that the reason why he had prescription medication that was not prescribed to him in his car was, quote, I have a medical condition, and this medication was prescribed by Dr. Rosa Parks.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Rosa Parks came back from the dead and became a doctor
and wrote him a prescription.
All at once.
Okay.
She's very busy.
Well, that's like insane. Did he just like pick the first like moderately famous person he could think of?
The police were not convinced and arrest him on possession of a controlled substance, cocaine and marijuana. Oh, so they searched the rest of the car and found more drugs. Perfect. Just in case you were wondering, the Florida Department of Health has officially commented and said that there is no licensed doctor in the Florida state that goes by the name Rosa Parks. So
shocker.
I know. Just in case you thought we didn't give him the benefit of the doubt. No, we did.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
That's like, oh, Dr. Herbert Hoover prescribed these medicines to me. Dr. George Washington.
Yes. The elegant George Washington.
The elegant George Washington?
Yes.
Why the elegant?
He's very famous in Florida. He's
sure.
Yes.
Okay. I'll accept it.
When he writes his prescriptions, it's very formal, very fancy.
Right, right.
Sure. I don't know.
Why not? You know who would be the best at writing prescriptions? John Hancock.
Yes. If anybody, Dr. John Hancock. Yes. There you go. His prescription.
Now that would have been an excuse I would have believed.
His prescription pad is a full 8.5 by 11.
Yeah.
You got to bring the whole sheet of paper.
That's right.
To the pharmacy.
It's on like a roll of parchment. You have to unroll it.
Yeah. According to the arrest report, deputies found two pills that turned out to be alprazolam, which is a sedative used to treat anxiety and panic disorders, which was completely unrelated to any sort of medical condition that Santos has.
Okay.
Upon further searching of the car, deputies found cocaine, and they also noticed that Santos's vehicle was slowly drifting from side to side. That's when they did a drug test on him and found that he was also on marijuana.
He's like a drugstore over there.
Right. He's got all of them. Asked if he was all right, Santos also claimed that, quote, I was just distracted because I was on the phone arguing with my girlfriend. But
that doesn't help your case.
That doesn't help at all.
I was swerving in and out of traffic because I was too busy focused on an argument on the phone.
Yeah. You know that happens, right?
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Dr. Rosa Parks. That's a good one.
He must have just heard that name.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a name that just pops into your head if you're on drugs in Florida. I'm just saying.
Dr. Booker T. Washington.
Yeah.
He wrote me this prescription. Well-known doctor.
Of course.
All right. Let's get to this Florida story here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
You know, why not have, you know, we have all these stories with adults. Why not get the kids involved?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Why not? Start the kids early, I say.
Right. Well, a car thief was arrested for the fourth time in 6 weeks, the latest coming after he cut off his ankle monitor and got into another stolen car. Police even call him flashy with a lot of attitude. And guess what?
What?
He's 10 years old.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, we're starting them off right here.
Oh, boy. He's got a bright future ahead of him.
Right. Juveniles stealing cars isn't unusual in Daytona Beach, but arresting someone who is in the fourth grade is almost unheard of. When the 10-year-old offender was caught Wednesday after removing his ankle monitor, he was hanging around with...
That's bad if you're 10 years old and you have an ankle monitor. That means that you've already done enough for the state to be like, let's keep an eye on that guy.
Yeah.
He's a kid. He's in school 8 hours a day.
What else
But you
is
still
he doing?
Need an ankle monitor on him? How is he able to do that much crime when he's got school and homework?
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
That's just insane. Florida's like a different world.
It is. After he removed his ankle monitor, he was caught hanging with older boys around 16, 17 years old. Wow. He just jumped right through puberty.
Can I just say, it's also a little weird that those 17-year-olds are like, sure, let's hang out with a 10-year-old.
Well, the reason why is because they dared him to keep doing criminal activities.
What a dopey little kid. What a stupid... Kids are so dumb.
Sergeant,
they are.
Sergeant Tim Ehrenkofer. Wow, jeez.
What a name. Ehrenkofer?
Ehrenkofer. Yeah, I think that's it. Sergeant Tim Ehrenkofer has investigated the child since his first arrest.
Oh my gosh.
And has noticed a brashness that is not common among other 10-year-old boys. He claims that, quote, he just has a look-at-me attitude. He's very flashy.
This kid's going to be a career criminal.
Yeah.
If you have an ankle monitor and you've been arrested multiple times by the age of 10, you live in Florida and you're going to be a career criminal.
The first time he was arrested was in June when he stole a car and parked it in the lot outside of a Target. That's very 10-year-old mindset. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need some things at the Target.
Right. You just got to run some errands.
Police discovered the car through video surveillance and arrested the 10-year-old suspect while he was still shopping. Yeah. All right. At least he's not shoplifting. He can get to the store.
I don't know if that's better or worse.
Slightly.
I think slightly better. He stole the car, but he won't steal candy.
Right.
Principles.
Principles. He might be able to be saved. Maybe. So after that, he's been linked to two other car thefts since then, including one where he stole a car off of a dealership lot at Azza Motors.
Oh my gosh.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Because
how?
Yeah.
How do you steal a car from a dealership? Like, they have the keys.
Maybe one of the salespeople left a key on their desk.
That dude is fired so hard.
Yeah. He shouldn't be doing that. Yeah.
The 10-year-old just walks in and is like, hey, mister, I don't even know what he would say to get the keys.
I really want a test drive.
Yeah, I want a test drive. I actually dropped my toy inside the car. Can I have the keys to get it out? Like,
Sure, Billy.
Hey, wait a second.
What's the worst that can happen?
You just hear screeching tires. Oh, man.
So, yeah, I can't believe he stole one right off a dealership lot.
That is ballsy.
The vehicles that he stole were taken all over the city. Now he's under strict surveillance, from the police.
He was before. That didn't stop him.
Well, yeah. I don't know. What do you
How bad are the police in Florida?
Yeah. He keeps cutting off his ankle monitor. We're screwed.
What are they making it out of? Like, paper? They're just tying it on with string? Isn't it supposed to be, like, something you can't easily take off?
Ankle
monitors?
I don't know. That... 10 years old, and he's already got four different car thefts.
That's insane. I have zero.
He's taking Grand Theft Auto way too literally.
Yeah, well, this is what it is. His parents wouldn't let him play Grand Theft Auto.
So I'm going to do it in real life.
I'll show you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. See, parents, if there's any parents listening.
Let us play Grand Theft Auto.
We're 28.
Yeah, now we are.
So we can play whatever we want to play.
Did your parents... Yeah, your parents didn't let you play Grand Theft Auto, right?
They tried. Well, because... Okay, so kids have friends, and friends have video games.
Oh, okay. So you play
and one of those video games happens to be Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, I didn't play it, like, a lot. But yeah, my parents are like, oh no, you can't play Grand Theft Auto. At the same time, as a child, I saw Saving Private Ryan and played God of War. So, go figure. For people that don't know God of War, like, one of the first scenes is you're, like, eviscerating dudes, and their guts are spilling out, and then there's literally...
Yeah, but you're learning
a sex minigame.
But you're learning about Greek mythology.
Right, exactly. And that was probably the excuse I used when I was like 12.
And the sex...
But mom, it's Greek mythology! Yeah.
And the sex minigame is a part of it.
That's right. That is a part of Greek mythology.
Yes!
Remember when Zeus mashed X 14 times?
Yeah!
He was mashing something!
Right, exactly. That's what happens.
That's how it works, right?
Yeah.
But...
Be careful when you pause that one.
Twirl the stick. But, yeah.
Use that joystick.
Yeah, so my parents tried to prevent me from playing Grand Theft Auto, but I played at my friends' houses. Yeah. What about you? Were there strict regulations on Grand Theft Auto?
Not really.
Not really?
No. See, this is the thing. I was the youngest of, like, everybody. And my cousins, I was just always the youngest. So I think by the time, like, I came along, I think everyone was just like, ah, screw, he's going to learn eventually.
Everyone's like, I'm too tired.
My dad let me watch Scarface when I was 10.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I'm really surprised, like, that didn't scar me. Or maybe it did. I don't know, because now I have a whole collection of Al Pacino clips.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah. It made you an Al Pacino addict.
Yeah.
You could have picked up a normal addiction like cocaine, but no, you chose Al Pacino.
Yeah. I didn't want to do cocaine, no.
No.
So I had allergies. I already had the sniffles.
Right, yeah. You don't want anything that's going to make that worse. Yeah.
But no, Al Pacino, I want that.
Al Pacino, yeah.
This guy seems cool.
Oh, man.
All right, and I got one more story here for you. And, yeah, another Florida story to wrap it up.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
A drunk man who refused to pay his $6 bar tab caused an officer to chip his tooth while he was resisting arrest, according to the Lady Lake Police Department. Officers responded to a call on Tuesday from the village's event staff saying that they had a disorderly customer inside their bar. Officers responded to Margarita Republic, where 54-year-old Kevin Conklin was making profane statements to customers and refused to leave when ordered to do so by bar staff. Conklin did not pay his $6 bar tab and would not tell officers his name. To identify the man, officers attempted to take possession of his cell phone. When they did, Conklin ran, jumped onto the front fender of the officer's vehicle, began resisting arrest, and then started screaming, "I'm super sovereign!
I am assuming direct control."
What?
"I'm super sovereign."
"I am assuming direct control."
Nice.
I don't know what the hell that means.
Yeah, I have no idea what he means by that.
"I am assuming direct control."
Other than he thinks he's a giant AI worship.
"I am assuming direct control."
Officers grabbed Conklin's arm and attempted to put him in a patrol car. Conklin continued to resist, and during the struggle, one officer chipped his front tooth. While in custody, Conklin told officers that he claimed that, quote, "I am a sovereign citizen with super rights."
What?
"I am assuming direct control."
What are super rights?
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah, there's rights.
I didn't know. Am I missing out on some rights?
There's rights and then super rights.
"I am assuming direct control."
Conklin was taken to the Lake County Detention Center and was charged with resisting with violence, disorderly intoxication, battery, and two counts of petite theft. So
don't look up super rights, by the way.
"I am assuming direct control."
Why?
There's some weird viewpoints online. I'll just leave it at that. Oh, boy.
Is it,
that top result was alarming.
Anything like that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Excellent.
So he had super rights. He is a...
super sovereign.
Super sovereign.
"I am assuming direct control."
But he didn't have $6.
No, he did not have $6. That's embarrassing.
He's this super special person, but he doesn't have $6. If you're that special, you'd have $6.
Or someone can pay $6 of your bar tab.
You know what, though? If I were the bartender, I'd be like, dude, here, I'll just pay it. Please leave.
"I am assuming direct control."
I'd be like, oh, you know what? There's this really good beer that they're serving outside. You should go
outside.
Get it.
Outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just lock the door behind them.
It's sovereign beer.
"I am assuming direct control."
What an imbecile.
Yeah.
That's Florida for you, though.
Yeah. Super rights. They're all outside. And there you go, folks. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. But before we officially wrap the show up, let's go over what have we learned in this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Well, I learned that apparently super rights are a thing in Florida, but it doesn't mean that you have enough money to pay your bar tab.
Yeah, apparently that got lost in translation.
Yeah, it must have.
It happens when you become super sovereign.
I am assuming direct control. Well,
the problem is that when you become a 2-kilometer-tall AI starship, you drop your wallet.
Yeah.
Because there's no pockets. There's no pockets.
It just falls right through the cracks.
Yeah, it's a shame.
I am assuming direct control.
Mass Effect would have been much less threatening if Sovereign was like, have you seen my wallet?
Can you please pay my bar tab?
Yeah.
I am assuming direct control.
Little known fact, that was the plot for Mass Effect Andromeda originally.
Yeah.
Changed it halfway through, and that's why the game sucked.
Yep.
Should have stuck with the original idea.
Just go to a bar.
That's right. But anyway, I also learned that, you know, you could have had normal addictions, Rich, but you chose Al Pacino sound clips as your kryptonite.
I like it. Yeah. I think that's very healthy.
I guess it's better than the alternatives.
Right. It could have been cocaine.
Yeah. Cocaine, Al Pacino, it was a tough choice.
Yeah, I think I made the right one. Yeah.
I thought you were going to play a sound clip, but okay.
Because I have the music running.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I also learned that parents should let their kids play Grand Theft Auto.
Yes.
I mean, look at us. We turned out fine.
Right. We're somewhat okay.
Yeah. I would say average.
Yeah.
At best.
You know. Could be worse.
It could be worse. It could always be worse. We learned that about Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Like people trying to come up with weird doctors, Dr. Rosa Parks.
Yes.
That prescribe them mysterious medication.
I'm going to go see Dr. Booker T.
That's
Washington.
Right. I'm going to go to Dr. John Hancock.
Yes.
And get a huge parchment with his signature on it.
Excellent.
That's right.
Totally legit.
Absolutely. I also learned that banks have the stupidest hours of operation.
Yes.
I don't understand how you can be open from, what was it, like 11 to 3?
Yeah.
What type of hours are those?
That's some BS.
Where can I find a job like that?
Yeah.
Work 4 hours a day. Oh, that's it.
Banker's hours.
Ugh. Anyway, you know what would cheer me up, though? If it's not working those types of hours, it's Battle Golf League. I will make it happen, because that's the only thing that could spice golf up.
Okay, good luck with that. CXFL.
I'll do it better.
There you go, folks. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
And there you go, folks. Another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast is in the books. Yeah, I think that was an interesting journey we had. Talked about some golf, talked about some Christopher Nolan movies, and then wrapped it up with some Florida odd news stories involving Sovereign and a child stealing 4 cars.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that?
That's pretty impressive.
This is the journey that you get when you travel with us here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to find out more about our various journeys that we've had recording this podcast, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find video noodles, best bits, interviews, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. We get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We take the best bits and shrink them down to a 1 to 2 minute promo clip that you can easily listen to with friends and family. all the crazy jokes and the crazy stories that come through here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I'm at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. We're both going to be pretty much out and about coming up. Mike's got a nice vacation coming up, the caravan with the family. I've got a couple of concerts coming up. So, yeah, I think you definitely should follow us on Twitter. Search for our usernames because, yeah, I think we're going to be out and about.
That's right.
But for now, this will wrap up this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Okay, listen up, everybody. I'm Donald Trump. You might remember me from such elections as the 2016 election. It was the biggest election, the best election, mostly because I won. Now, if you like podcasts, and I like podcasts, let me tell you about podcasts. I've listened to some podcasts in my time because I'm Donald Trump, and I listen to the best podcasts. And the best podcast I listen to is my own podcast. We're the best at the podcasting. But if I had to pick a second podcast, it would be the Crispy Noodle Podcast. It's the best podcast for 2017. Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2017.